Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me.
Please keep your Bibles open there in Galatians chapter 1. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father, we pray that you would guide our time now as we reflect on those words. Reflect on the importance of your gospel and on what Jesus has done for us. Lord, guide us now by your Spirit. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for a little while or for many, many years. We all have times when we lose sight of just how good the good news of Jesus really is. We're all a little bit like the once famous publisher, William Hurst. Hurst was an incredibly powerful and important man of his time in the early 1900s in America, and he would amass an incredible wealth for himself. And because of this wealth, he was able to get an incredibly vast range of artworks from all around the world. And as he did that, he was always on the look for more. On one occasion, Hurst set his heart on one particular artwork. Being the busy man he was, he didn't go looking for it himself. He sent one of his employees, who then traveled all around the world looking for this piece of art. only to find after months of travelling and searching for this article, it was already in Hirst's own art collection. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection, then you already have the greatest treasure that anyone could ever have in this life. And yet, at times, we all lose sight of this incredible treasure. We become so familiar with the gospel that we start to think that there must be more to it. We have times when we feel so dirty, so sinful, so unclean that we don't feel like God could ever forgive us. We have times when we get caught up in so many unimportant things that it doesn't even meet our minds. But if we have faith in Jesus, we already have the greatest treasure that anyone could ever hope to have. Forgiveness, a right relationship with God, a church family to serve alongside, and the certain hope of life beyond the grave. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine passed away, and his funeral was this week. We just prayed for him. He was the math man that passed away. He was only 36 years old. He was married to a lovely Christian woman who we also knew, and they had three quite young kids. And so it was extremely sad for those who are left behind. But this friend of mine was a follower of Jesus. And so even though his death was incredibly sad, there's still reason to celebrate, because we have a hope that is greater than the worst thing that could ever happen in this life. The certain hope of life beyond the grave, forever with Christ Jesus. That's why, as the service for Chris took place, despite all of the pain, despite all of the deep sense of loss and his life having been cut so short, the first song they played, among many other songs that sing praise to God, was The Goodness of God, a song that gives thanks for all of the wonderful things God has done. There really is nothing else in this life that can provide the hope that the good news of Jesus can in those kind of circumstances, because it's the only thing that is able to give us hope beyond the fallenness of this world. I read these words during my quiet time this week, words from Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. If you have faith in Jesus, you already have this incredible treasure in your own possession. You don't need to do anything to obtain it. And no sin that you are struggling with, no sin that you just cannot shake, can keep you from God's love in Christ Jesus. Because the truth is, none of us deserve to be forgiven in the first place. None of us deserve to be called a son or a daughter of God. But because of his incredible love for us, he has given us hope that is greater than our failings, greater than the things that we struggle with, and greater than the very worst thing that could ever happen to you in this life. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul is rebuking the believers in Galatia for turning away from the gospel. Now, it's the first sermon I'm preaching this year. Don't take anything from the fact that Paul is rebuking the people in Galatia. That's nothing, and that's not a reflection on you guys. This is a wonderful gospel, a wonderful reminder of the gospel, this book of Galatia. But It wasn't as though the believers at Galatia didn't know the good news of Jesus. They knew that God had sent Jesus into the world, that he was fully man and fully God. They knew that Jesus lived the perfect life that they weren't able to do, that he died the death that they deserved to die, and that because he was raised to life, they could have life in him. They knew the gospel. They knew that. But sadly, they had started to add their own works to the completed work of Christ. And what was going on was some of the Jewish believers were telling the non-Jewish believers that they needed to be circumcised in order to be accepted by God. Or in other words, these Jews were trying to tell non-Jewish believers to enter God's kingdom through the old covenant, the old way of being saved, instead of the new through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we've all heard of lots of different ways that people try and add their own works to the good news of Jesus. But circumcision, well, it's a different kind of one, because it isn't one that you do over and over again. If they were circumcised once, then they were circumcised. But if these non-Jewish believers accepted that they needed circumcision, they'd start to trust in that instead of Christ. I've heard it said that if you trust in Jesus for 99% of your salvation and you only have to do 1%, which part are you going to focus on? If you know the 99% is done, you're going to focus on the one, aren't you? You're going to focus on the one that you have to do. The reality is that Jesus has done 100% of our salvation. Sadly, we do the same thing as these believers at Galatia. We can feel too sinful sometimes to approach God. We can feel like we shouldn't approach him until we've read our Bible or had a bit of a quiet time or gone to church. We try to make ourselves clean. But if we have faith in Jesus, he has already made us clean. The truth is, none of us deserve to be forgiven on the basis of our works. It's not like if we just did that one more good thing, then God would accept us. None of us deserve anything but judgment from God, including me. That's why we need Jesus. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has paid for the sins of those who trust in him, past, present, and future. And if he's paid for all of those sins by taking them on himself at the cross, then if we try and add anything to it, even 0.1% to it, then that is a false gospel. A false gospel that doesn't have the power to save, because we can't even do 0.1% of our own salvation. In today's passage, Paul makes two main points: that he wants all believers in every generation of the church to understand and believe. And the first point is that the good news of Jesus is enough. In fact, it is all we need. Now, we don't know how long it took for the believers at Galatia to lose sight of the gospel, to get off track. But it clearly wasn't very long, because in verse 6, Paul is astonished by how quickly they stop believing that faith in Jesus is enough. From the moment these non-Jewish people started to trust in Jesus, there was a lot of confusion about what it meant for somebody who wasn't a Jew to be a follower of God. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the sign that somebody belonged to God was circumcision, a physical outward sign. But it's a physical outward sign that Jesus has fulfilled for us. In fact, he has fulfilled all of the law for us. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth, and that was done for us. Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father every day of every minute of every day that he walked on this earth for us, so that He could fulfill every single one of God's commands for us. And so for us to try and add anything to what Jesus has done is like saying that what he has done for us is not enough. And that's why Paul writes in such black and white terms in verses 8 and 9. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. So the first example that Paul gives there is actually of himself. He's saying that even if he was to preach a gospel other than the one they had received, then he deserves eternal judgment. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, who was persecuted, beaten. He suffered. He traveled most of an enormous amount of kilometres. I can't remember, something like 3,000 kilometres on foot just to share the good news of Jesus. But if even he was to share a gospel other than Christ and Christ alone, then he deserves eternal judgment. Then he says, even if an angel, even if Michael the archangel came down from heaven and began in all his power to preach a gospel other than Jesus, or Jesus plus anything, plus even the slightest thing, let him be eternally condemned. Paul is speaking in the clearest terms he could possibly speak in to try and make sure that these people in Galatia knew that the gospel is Jesus plus nothing else. Because to add anything to what Jesus has done, it's like saying that what he has done is not enough. Whether we do that by trying to be good enough for God, whether we do that by telling ourselves that God could never love us, we are saying that the good news of Jesus is not enough to save us. And we are turning the good news of Jesus into a fake and unsaving gospel. The good news of Jesus is that he is enough. In fact, he is all we need. The second point in today's passage is the good news of Jesus did not come from any human being. From the beginning of these verses, the Apostle Paul is very clear about his qualifications as an apostle. He didn't become an apostle like the other 12. He was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so he wants the believers in Galatia to know that the message he is preaching is not one that he made up. It's not one that he heard from the other 12. It is a message that has come directly from Jesus. As Paul writes this letter, he isn't standing on any earthly authority in the church, not even the words of the other apostles who had walked and talked with Jesus while he was on earth. That's why he says in verse 11 and 12, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation from Jesus Christ." In fact, Paul goes on to explain that God revealed the good news of Jesus, not because of Paul, but despite Paul's best efforts. In verses 13 and 14, Paul explains how accomplished he was as a Pharisee, how zealous he was for the traditions of his forefathers. In fact, he was so zealous that he arrested, beat, and killed those who were sharing the good news of Jesus. Paul was offended by the good news of Jesus because it said that you cannot do this yourselves. You have to trust in God. Whereas as a Pharisee, following the law, obeying God's commands, that was all about how to be saved. But Paul says in verses 15 and 16, "When he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And it goes on to explain why. What it's saying is that even before Paul was born, God had a plan for Paul's life, a plan for him to be a messenger of the gospel. It was God who allowed Paul to rise up amongst the ranks of the Pharisees. It was God who allowed Paul to become a persecutor of the church. Now, don't hear me wrong. It wasn't God's fault. Paul was still to blame for his actions, but God allowed him to become a persecutor of the church so that through Paul's conversion, God would be glorified. And the good news of Jesus would go out to the Gentiles. Paul wasn't preaching a message that he or anyone had made up. In fact, he was preaching a message that he had been offended by most of his life, right up until Jesus met with him on the road to Damascus. Paul didn't deserve the mercy that he has received, and neither do we. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has made forgiveness and eternal life a reality for everyone who trusts in him. Paul was a living example of that, and so is everyone who trusts in Jesus, including me. Today's passage is warning believers not to add anything or take anything away from the good news of Jesus. The Jews at Galatia had lost sight of the gospel, and they were teaching the non-Jewish believers that they needed to do more than just trust in Jesus. And so that should cause us to ask ourselves, what are the ways that we might be tempted to try and add something of our own works to the good news of Jesus? This is a Baptist church, and we believe in believers' baptism. We believe it's an important symbol that God has given us in his word. It is important, but it is not of first importance. When someone is believers baptized, they're lowered down under the water. And as they're lowered down, that symbolizes them being, they're dying with Christ. And as they come back out, that symbolizes them being raised to new life in Christ. But baptism doesn't make anyone a believer, nor does it guarantee that a person will continue in their walk with the Lord. It is, and it always was, given as a symbol of what the Holy Spirit has done in that person's heart. No one is saved on the basis of whether they were baptized by believers' baptism, or as an infant, or if they were confirmed. None of those outward symbols have the power to save anyone. The power of salvation can only be found through faith in what Jesus has done on our behalf. Now, another way that's becoming increasingly popular of adding to the gospel is teaching that all religions are basically the same, and that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're a loving person. But what Paul is saying in these verses is that those who teach such things are not being kind. They're not being loving. They're not being generous. They are leading people to hell. And if they continue down that path without repentance, they will end up there as well. The gospel's really, really simple. The gospel is we aren't good enough. We don't have anything to offer. We come to God with empty hands. And if we do so in faith in what Jesus has done, we will be forgiven. We will be set free from our sins and given life beyond the grave. Not because of anything in us or anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. So if you are feeling too sinful for God to forgive this morning, the truth is, We're all too sinful to deserve God's grace. But because of his incredible mercy, he has given us Jesus, this wonderful treasure. There's nothing that we can do to add to what Jesus has done. The good news of Jesus is enough. In fact, it is all that we need. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that most of us here have heard the gospel so many times that we can just go, oh, yeah, we've heard that before. We can miss some of the beauty, some of the wonder, can miss what the wonderful treasure that you have given us. Lord, help us not to take the good news of Jesus for granted. Help us not to try and add anything or take anything away from what you've done. Help us to sit there knowing that we aren't worthy, but that you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. Help us to base our lives around the completed work of Christ, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, help that light to shine so that those around us, our loved ones, our friends, and whoever we come into contact might see that we recognize that we're not better than anyone else, that we still struggle with all sorts of things, but that we have the wonderful gift of forgiveness through Jesus. And so it's in his name, Lord, we pray this. Amen.